I love that song. If more of you means less of me, take everything. You know, it just always brings me back to the spaces in my life where I've so desperately need Jesus' redemption. And I think that we could probably all echo that here in this room. And you might be here this morning and you are at the highest point in your following life where you're hearing Jesus so clearly. You know, I've been in those seasons, kind of a mountaintop experience, and some of us in this room might be in a place of being in a valley. And I want you to know something, that no matter if you're way up here or way down here, God is with you. I want you to know that truth before we step into this teaching this morning. And so I'm really excited about the beginning of the year every year. And it's partly because we preach the same sermons every single time in January. Now, they're a little different. I don't just pull it out and dust it off, and I do pray through those things. But about 2.5 years ago, Todd and I began to pray. This is kind of the end of 2020. I showed up here. We started praying about kind of refocusing our church. And one of the things the scriptures say in Proverbs 29:19 is that where there is no vision, the people perish. It's such a good statement. It's a sobering statement. Especially for leadership or any church, and we needed a vision. And so as we prayed through it, we came up with this mission statement that you see a lot around here, and it's pursuing Jesus, practicing the way, and live life on mission. And the goal here is for us to be disciples of Jesus Christ, that we want to be like Jesus and do what he did. That is the goal. If anyone were to ask, as we start new ministries at New Life Church, we bring in new eldership, we make decisions about New Life, our question is it causing us to pursue Jesus, practice the way, and live life on mission? We will ask those questions every single time. And we want that for us corporately. We want corporately for us to pursue Jesus, practice the way, and live on, life on mission. But we also want that for you as an individual. That when you leave here and you go to your homes and you go to your workplaces and all the spaces, your places of influence, that you would pursue Jesus and practice the way and live life on mission. And so the question is how do we live like that statement is true? How do we live like the statement, pursue Jesus, practice the way and live life on mission, is true in the life of New Life Church, but also in your own life? How do we live that way? And so for the next 3 weeks, Todd and I will be teaching through each statement individually, and today we are looking at pursuing Jesus. Pursuing Jesus is this, or the word pursuit is defined as following or proceeding to a path or engaging in. Pursuing Jesus is allowing Jesus to take us by the hand and guide us as we follow him. And I think it's important to know from the very beginning that when we pursue Jesus, it's not about a priority in life. Anybody ever have like a priority list? Like, I'm going to do this first. I'm going to do this second, this third. And so often, whatever's first, I'm down here at like in the to-do list. I'm like at 7 and 8. I haven't even got to number 1 yet. Priority list, when it comes to Jesus, it just doesn't work. But I tell you what does work is that Jesus is in the center of every single part of your life. He's in the center of your family. He's in the center at your workplaces and decisions you make in your workplaces. He's in the center of your parenting. And so pursuing Jesus is asking this question, is Jesus the center of every part of my life? Is he at the center of my decisions with my finances? Is he at the center of all that we do? Because what's at the center of our lives is ultimately what fuels us, right? And what fuels us is important. Like what we eat, right? Like what we eat is important because it gives us a particular kind of fuel. I remember several years ago, I was in Frankfurt. I was working there, and I had an outside garage, and I was doing a little carpentry work out there, and I needed a kerosene heater. And at the church that I was serving at, they had a bunch of kerosene heaters, and so I called up there to the maintenance guy. I said, hey, can I borrow one of those heaters? And they said, absolutely. We'll fill it full of kerosene, and we'll give it to you. You can use it as long as you want. I was like, great. So I go up there. I pick up this particular heater. I put it in the back of my truck. And all of a sudden, like, I'm not smelling kerosene, I'm smelling gas. Gasoline, not kerosene. All right? So I open it up, and someone had accidentally filled it with gasoline and not kerosene. And imagine if I lit that thing. I may not be standing on this stage at this point, you know what I mean? Because what fuels us is important. It is absolutely vital and important to us as we grow. What's at the center of our lives? And we pursue Jesus because, not because it's some duty or some kind of like we have to do it, it's because he loves us so deeply he gave his life for us. He chose us. We are his sons and his daughters. So what does pursuit look like? What are the possibilities if in your life in 2023 you would say this, I'm going to pursue Jesus with all that I have? What are the possibilities if New Life Church, if we say together collectively, we are going to pursue Jesus with everything that we have? I want you to know from the beginning, it's pursuing Jesus is not about coming to church. I want you to come to church and I want this place full, but it's not about coming to church. Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you do the math, it's 8,000 hours. That's how many hours he spent with the disciples. And what'd they do when he hung on a cross? They betrayed him. Like, they peaced out on Jesus, right? And sometimes we believe that church, 1 hour a day, is going to disciple us, but it has to be so much more. It has to be so much more. Pursuing Jesus, really, we look at it in four elements: prayer, fasting, Sabbath rest, and reading God's Word. Prayer, fasting, Sabbath rest, and reading God's Word. When we talk about pursuing Jesus here at New Life Church, we're talking about those four things. And today, I want to talk about pursuing Jesus through God's Word, filling our hearts and minds with the knowledge and with the work of Jesus. If you want to grow in Jesus Christ, you must fill your heart with His Word. You must read His Word. University of California put out a study recently in the last year, and it said that we absorb 34 gigabytes or over 100,000 words a day. That's what we absorb through our phones, through text messages, books, social media, podcasts. Because here's the truth, is there's so many voices pulling at us. There's so many voices pulling at us. Whether that's socially, whether it's politically, emotionally, there are voices pulling for our attention. And how do we know which voice is best? How do we know what voice to actually follow? How do we separate the true voice from the voices that may be good or giving us lies? Because these voices that we listen to shape our lives. They shape how we respond to each other. They shape how we respond to our marriages, our parenting. They shape how we respond to loss and grief, and they even shape how we respond to compliments that are giving to us. When I was working camp, we did this big team-building exercise, and you may have seen it before, but there's a person on this side that's blindfolded, and there's another person on this side who is not blindfolded, and in the middle, there are a bunch of like rocks, cones, all these obstacles. All right, and the guy who isn't blindfolded over here, he's kind of yelling at the other guy who is blindfolded to kind of help him get through all of the obstacles, to kind of get him through this journey in life. The only problem is there's like 15 people in this row and 15 in others. There's voices everywhere. And so the person who's blindfolded over, what does he have to do? He has to lock in to the voice over here that's calling out, hey, go to the left, go to the right, go straight. Take another step, 2 steps forward, 2 steps back, all of those kind of things. We must be able to hear the voice of God through all the other voices that are speaking to us in this world. We must be able to hear Him. And I want you to know, I want you to be encouraged this morning, it is absolutely possible to hear God clearly with so much information, so many things being thrown our way. In the second letter of Timothy, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and they have just a beautiful relationship. And what's important to know about this letter is that Paul is almost at the end of his life. He is near death. And like many of us, when we know we are nearing death, we want to offer this wisdom and this reflection and this advice to people around us, don't we? Like, we want to give everything, just put it all out there. And if you want to read kind of a two letters that help us do that, read Timothy. That he just kind of lays all of those things out there. And in chapter 3, it could be titled, How to Remain Faithful to God in Anxious Times. In difficult times, you could read chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, that way. what to cling to, how to hear the voice of God in really, really difficult times, specifically if you're in a place of leadership. And I would argue that every person in this room is leading somebody. We're all leading something. You have to be on stage preaching to be leading. You are leading with your life. You are leading people somewhere. And so look at 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. You've probably heard this scripture before if you've been around the church. And we're going to kind of go through it line by line. But as for you, continue what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. You've probably heard this before if you've read through this book. It's one that we center on. We talk about why the scripture is important. So there's three things I want to go through really simply this morning. What is scripture? What is it for? And how do we respond to it? What is scripture? What is it for? And how do we respond to scripture? Look at verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God. Now, this word, breathed out by God, actually is translated in the Greek as God-breathed. And Paul uses a Greek word that isn't found anywhere else in the Bible or otherwise. There is no manuscript you'll ever find this word anywhere else, because it's almost as if he had to explain what the scripture is in kind of his own way, that it is breathed out by God, which means this. It means it did not come from thin air. It's not made up. That God brought it into existence. So if we're asking the question, what is scripture? We can say this very simply. Scripture is the voice of God. Scripture is the voice of God. And we know this about God's voice, that when God speaks, everything changes. Right? Think about your own life. When God spoke to you, did your life not change? Everything changes. When God spoke, the world came into existence. Let there be light. And what happened? There was light. When God speaks, everything changes. God breathed the breath into the man's nostrils, and there was life. When God breathes, everything changes when he speaks. Think about Jesus. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And when Jesus spoke to whoever was following, take up your nets and follow me. Stand up and be healed, right? Take up your mat and walk, right? Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus' life was never the same. Why? Because Jesus' voice, he spoke to him. When Jesus speaks, when God speaks, everything changes. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. When we read the scripture, we are reading the very voice of God. He is speaking to you. He is speaking to us. God speaks to the gospel writers. He speaks through the prophets. All the parts of scripture that you read is God's voice to us. When I was studying for this, I found out it's kind of a simple way to put it, but the Bible was written over the course of 1,500 years by dozens of different authors, 13 countries, 3 continents, 3 languages. But despite the diversity of its creation, it has incredible accuracy and consistency when it comes to the message of Jesus Christ and the character of God. Absolute accuracy of who Jesus is and who God is. And when we read the scripture, we are reading the very voice of God. Now, there are parts that are really hard to understand. Anybody read Leviticus? Come on, right? Read Leviticus? Man, I get to that one when you're reading Bible through a year and I'm like, I'm out, right? I've done that so many years. Like, I've started so good. I'm like, Genesis, Exodus, oh man, I got 2 in, Leviticus, I'm out. You know, it's just a hard one, but there's so much goodness. You ever got to Matthew, even the Gospels, you begin Matthew and this is whole genealogy of Jesus, right? How many of us just like kind of skip over that, right? We're like, ah, genealogy, ah, cool. It's a bunch of names, don't know what's going on. But it summarizes the entire story of the Bible from captivity, freedom, to redemption. It reminds us of all these people that God has been faithful to. All these people that is in the line of Jesus and in the line of us, right? Because we're sons and daughters of the King. That we're in the line of Him that He has been faithful to, right? And that Jesus is our only hope. All these kings, they tried to bring redemption, didn't they? All these people, they tried to bring freedom, but they couldn't do it. And Matthew says, our only hope is Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, you read through the genealogy, you do the research, you'll find out that there is absolute freedom in reading that, and you will hear the voice of God even in a genealogy. We need community to do this. We need to do it together. We need smart people, all right? I'm not the smartest dude in the world. I got to have commentaries to get up here and do this, right? I need people that are you know, you have monks, you have people who spend their whole life reading and helping us digest the Word. So if Scripture is the voice of God, it means that God, it is God's authority when He speaks. Doesn't He have authority when He speaks? And so when we read the Scripture physically, when we open the Bible to read the Scripture, I want to remind you to place yourself in the posture of surrender to His Word. To stop and pray, Lord, I'm about to read Matthew, I'm about to read whatever it is you're going to read. You know, Joel, I don't know where you are, and I've had trouble understanding it. Will you help me? Spirit of God, will you show me something that I can see? His Word helps us to align to the way of Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning, if it's the voice of God and it has authority and you read it and you would bury it deep down in your heart, it will change you. It will change you. First day of school was Tuesday. And we all get in the car. I'm taking Grady and Annie to school. And if you remember on Tuesday, it was raining that day, and at Owensboro Middle School, the carpool line gets pretty long, and I'm a pretty impatient person, all right? And so when we're on South Griffith in this long line, and there's a bus lane that's really, really wide. It's like from me to Miss Carroll right here. It's really wide. And so I just said, hey, I do this every day. I'll just pull out here, and I'll just get to the corner, go ahead and get him to class because we were kind of late. And then I'll just get back in line. There's nobody, it's not going to hurt anybody. So I made sure to pull out and go really slowly. All right, and I drive up, me and Grady say our goodbyes, roll down the window, he says goodbye to Annie, all that kind of stuff, and he gets on his way. I put my turn signal on to get back in the lane, and I see a spot, an opening, and so I begin to ease out. This car kind of flies up, and then the window rolls down. And I'm trying to do face recognition at this point, like, do I know this person? And his face, at first, is kind of smiling, but then all of a sudden it kind of drops, and he isn't looking so happy. So I roll my window down, and I'm like, and he begins to cuss me out because I have gone into the bus lane. I've not thought about kids that could be walking out. And he said a lot of words that, you know, I've learned over the years not to say, you know. And I got to be honest with you, the old John might have got out of that truck because inside of me, In a moment, it was that battle. You know what I'm talking about? It was like, no, I'm going to be right because I went slow. I didn't do anything wrong. You can do this. This is fine. But all of a sudden, something inside of me, his face was so angry. I realized something inside it was the Holy Spirit. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed be peaceful to this man. And I looked him straight in the face, and I said, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I've done. And I apologize. And I'm going to tell you right now, his face was like, he did not know how to respond to that. Except for, hey, let me hold the line, I'll let you back in. And he literally let me go in front of him. Now, there are times I have not listened to that inside, but I want to share victories with you as well from the stage, not just defeats. But I want you to know that I've buried this word in my heart, and at some point when you bury it down in there, it changes you, that it will come out because it's the voice of God, and his voice has authority, and his voice always leads to peace. It always leads to peace. So that's what Scripture is. What is it for? Look at 15 and 16. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, right? Breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The scripture is used for two things. One, it leads us to salvation. Scripture leads us to salvation, right? He says this, to make you wise for the salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Timothy, if you go back, he had been actually taught scripture by his mother Lois and grandmother Eunice, right? And Timothy had only had the Old Testament. Now, it's possible he had some New Testament writings, but he only had the Old Testament to study, which tells us this, and I know the Old Testament's a tough one, all right? You go back and read it, there's a lot of crazy things in there. But no matter where you are in the Bible, it will speak the name of Jesus and lead you to salvation. No matter where you are. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Revelation chapter 21, I think. It will all lead you to Jesus. It all speaks his name. Because God's word, it leads us to truth, and it has the power to bring us to faith. And never returns void, ever. So it leads us to salvation. It led Timothy to salvation. All he had was the Old Testament, and he had Paul to help teach him. But secondly, it leads us to growth in Christ. So you have salvation. You have this other word you've probably heard, but it's called sanctification, right? It's the shaping and the molding and kind of the sanding of the rough edges of our life and making the path straight to help us to look more like Jesus. It changes how we believe in the Lord and our conduct toward others. And he says this about the scripture as far as shaping us, that it's profitable, right, for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. That it teaches us, the word reproof there is dismissing false narratives about God. That as we read the scripture, we can actually stand up and be like, no, this is not the character of God. This is actually what it looks like. Because we've invested in it, right? That it also teaches us correction. How many of you guys have opened the scripture and been corrected by it? Pretty quickly, right? If you spend time in the Word, pretty much every time I open it, I'm like, oh, dang it, not again, you know? It exposes us where we need Jesus to bring his light. That it trains us in righteousness. And that means simply that we are living the Jesus way. These are the things. It brings us to salvation. This is why you probably heard stories of a hotel Bible. You know, the Gideon's Bible? It's in the hotel. People pull it out, and they literally have never read the Bible before. And they open the Bible, start reading it, and come to Christ. Because it's God's word. It's his voice to us. It has authority, right? This is why we hear those stories of indigenous people that get scriptures, and they read it, and they come to Christ because it is his voice. It is alive, folks. It is alive in our life. There's a big word in the science world called neuroplasticity. Ready for this? Neuroplasticity. I nerded out a little bit this week. So you just have to hang with me for a second. You want to hang with me for a second? Don't leave me at neuroplasticity, all right? Don't leave me. Neuroplasticity is the ability of the neural networks in the brain to change through growth and reorganization. It's when the brain is rewired to function in some way that differs from how it previously functioned. So it changes our habits. This is how our brain actually physically changes when we have habits in life. So like if you're trying to break the habit of biting your nails, this is how this works, neuroplasticity. We want to make new linear pathways in our mind, new pathways, we want to follow the new way in our mind. And this is how it works. You can put that up there if you have, it starts with Q. Do you have the one before that that has all the explanation? There we go. All right, so there's really four ways this happens, and I'll run through this quickly and help explain it. But neuroplasticity or habits work this way, First, you have a cue. So you have an experience or a stimulus, a trigger. It could be in certain locations, smelling a certain smell. Anybody have those? Like those triggers where you smell something and you just immediately go back to it, right? Seeing a certain photo or a certain person, feeling a particular emotional state. So you have a cue. Something cues that habit. Then you have a craving. The stimulus calls you to desire a particular outcome that you find rewarding. it motivates you to act, right? So you have this cue, and then you have a craving, right? And let's say it is biting your nails. So like all of a sudden, you get nervous. Your craving is, I'm going to bite my nails, and then you respond to it. You engage in behaviors, thoughts, or actions that take you to get that outcome. And then you get the reward. This dopamine release is what they say. The outcome occurs when you feel a sense of reward as a result, satisfying your own craving, the pleasure of relief. New experience reinforces the cue, making the cue even better and triggering another craving the next time. That's why it's kind of a habit. That becomes an endless loop. So it's a cue, a craving, a response, and reward. And I love that. It's beautiful how science works with the Bible, right? And here's how it works. It's because Paul said this, do not conform to the patterns of the world, but what? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be transformed by the... Take every thought captive to what? The obedience of Jesus. Neuroplasticity, this understanding, you can read more about it, I'll spare you, but it helps us understand how to transform our mind through the reading of God's Word. What actually happens when we put the knowledge of Jesus into our minds and our hearts? And how do we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? So the habit of reading Scripture, it begins to create new pathways of reward in our brain. New pathways of doing the things Jesus did and being like him. So let's take an example really quickly. Cue. Someone drives up, rolls their window down, and cusses you out. That's the cue, right? Craving. I want to respond in anger. That's what's boiling up. I'm craving it because I know if I respond in anger, I'm going to get, like, the reward is, I showed you. I was right. I can get out on this lane, do what I want. I get out of this truck. And then the reward is like, hey, I was right. But if we do it the way that the Bible, if we push down God's word into our heart and it marinates, someone drives up, rolls their window down, cusses you out. The craving is to respond in anger, to make sure you know he's right. But then you respond by listening for God's voice from his word, and it wins out. Peace wins out, not anger. You begin to remember the scripture, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. These things begin to come up. And the reward is, you have peace in your heart. The gentleman may be really confused that you're kind to him, but he has peace in your heart. And all of a sudden, he lets you in the line. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This is how we renew our mind, is to bury God's word deep down in our heart. And to change the way we think. To change the way we think about other people. To change the way we think about our neighbor who blows his grass all over our yard, all over our sidewalks. We have to blow it off. Change the way we think about people who, skip lines in Walmart and make our line longer, right? It brings truth to the lies that are thrown at us. And so finally, how do we respond to this? How do we respond to Scripture? In verse 14, it says, continue, what Paul says, continue in what you have learned. If you are here this morning and you are a daily reader of the Bible, I want to encourage you, continue what you have learned. Remain faithful. Stay with it. Don't give up. If it gets difficult, ask for help. Seek godly community, right? You got elders, you got all kind of people in this room and who maybe not here today who know God's word. That, like those mentors in 28 days, the reason why we're doing that is because some of us in this room don't know where to start when it comes to reading God's word. And we have people that are just, they've been reading a long time and they're tenured folks that would help you, guide you in all of those kind of things. Limit your distractions. You guys know what pulls you away from reading his word. You know that if you don't silence your phone and it dings, and while you're reading his word, you're like, I'm going to read that real quick before I finish this, and then you're distracted and it's done. I came up with this saying when I started parenting in my head. I always want to do everything for my kids, but I can't. And so I always tell myself, you can't do everything, but you can do something. Some of us are in different places on the starting line. Some of us haven't even started. And if you haven't started reading God's word here, I want to tell you, don't open the Bible randomly and you, for some reason, maybe you fall in Isaiah and you start reading it, and about 5 minutes in, you're like, next year I'll give it another try. All right? It's a marathon. Read 2 minutes a day. Open it up. Read 2 minutes. See what God might have for you. And that 2 minutes, maybe the next week, is 4 minutes. And then it just keeps doubling. And then all of a sudden, you fall in love with reading it because you realize it's the voice of God who brings you life. If you belong to Jesus, you want to be in Scripture. You want to know His heart more. You want to be like Him and do what He did. I've told this story before years ago, but when I was at my first church, there was a lady in our church who was older, and she broke her hip. And I was living in Frankfort. That's where we went to church, but she was sent to rehab in Louisville. So every Tuesday and Thursday, I would go to the rehab center in Louisville, and she loved to have communion. Like, that's her, she loved it. She wanted to have communion with me every single time. And so I would visit twice a week, and I would bring communion with me. And the only thing about it is Kay was deaf. She was totally deaf. She could read lips, and she could sign, but she was totally deaf. And I got to be honest with you. The first month of doing that, every Tuesday and Thursday, was really awkward. It was strange. I could not understand. I literally walked in. I would, like, get real close to her face, and I would do the whole, this is when they just started doing those, like, bread on top and all that, all-in-one communion, which was awesome. And I would go in and do all that, and I would immediately leave and go home. And I didn't have a choice, really, because my pastor was like, you're going to do it until she comes home. She was there for a year. She had infections. She had all this kind of stuff. And so I just kept going. I kept going. And the more that I went, the more that I sat with her, the more I started learning a little bit of sign language. The more I started learning how to communicate with her. The more I started learning about her family and about what she desired to do. And her daughter lived out on the West Coast in Seattle, and she wanted to move out there. And I got to pray with her, learn about her struggles. I got to communicate with her and learn her. And the more that I sat with her, the more that I understood her language, the more I understood her character, the more I understood her life. And the same is true with Scripture. The more that we sit with Scripture, it may not make sense at first. It may not make any sense at all, but the more that you don't give up, the more that you sit with it, the more you will hear the voice of God. The more you will interact with His character and grow in Him. And when hard times come, when anxious times come, because you've buried His word in your heart and you've kind of let it marinate down in there, that's what will come out. Not always, because we're human and broken and it's hard. I don't always do that. Trust me, for one victory over here, I probably have 15, I could tell you, where I didn't do it. But it's in there, and we're learning and growing. So New Life Church, this season, may you be a people that say, hey, I'm going to listen for the voice of God through His Word. Now, this doesn't say the Holy Spirit doesn't speak. The Holy Spirit speaks through His Word. It edifies everything. It tells us, it helps us to know, right, it corrects us, do all those things. It all happens through the voice of God, which is His word and authority. So as we kind of close our time here, I just want to ask you, as you go into 2023, some of us in this room maybe have, like, you know, you're already on the Bible in a Year app, you know, your YouVersion, you're getting going, all those things which I say continue. But what voices do you need to silence so you can hear God's? What voices do you need to silence? You know, there's a ton of good podcasts. There's a ton of good voices from people around you. But God's voice is best. It's always best. So what voices do you need to silence? What space do you need to make in your life to take time to create a habit of reading God's word? Maybe, again, 5 minutes. I want to tell you this. Last semester, we were sick from September to until we got out of school in December. Sick. Our family was sick. We had every single thing you could possibly imagine. And the only thing I could squeak out in the mornings was a psalm. I literally had to open the book of Psalms and read it. I was so tired. But you know what? It absolutely blessed me every time I opened it, and sometimes it didn't. Sometimes I just read it, and I was like, I'm reading it. Hallelujah. I opened the book. So no matter what season you're in, whatever that looks like, I want to tell you, invest in His Word. Pursue Jesus through reading His Word. Silence the voices, make space, create this habit so we are like Jesus and we do what He did. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love You so much. And we're thankful for Your kindness to us through Your Word. God, help us to desire to read it. It's hard. So God, as I always pray, the things that You've put on my heart that I've spoken, may they be filtered by the Holy Spirit so that everyone leaves here encouraged and edified, knowing that no matter what it looks like, this massive book that we have in front of us, that it's simple because You are with us. And so Lord, would you today just help us and show us how to start for some of us. For some of us in this room who are here today that will leave and maybe experience lives they don't need to start at all, God, I pray for them. And I pray for salvation as people read through the Word. So God, we just love You. We want to be like You. And we just ask that You would show us how to do that. Lord, we love You and pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. We're going to finish by singing together. You guys can stand. The altar's open. You can always take communion if you haven't yet. Glad you guys are here.